Well, if you came in today without your Bible in hand, go ahead and raise your hand and keep it up so they can see you, a Bible or outline. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7 specifically. As you know, we've been studying through the Gospel of Mark. By the way, if you get a church Bible, the outline's right in Philippians 2, so just open right up, right where the outline is. We've been studying through the Gospel of Mark. Pastor Dan's been teaching through that for the last few weeks and months. And this morning, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to jump over to the book of Philippians and take a look at something that that I've been looking at this week, something that I've been learning this week, something that I have not attained to. And so I think it'll be an encouraging reminder of the things that we do, the things that we are as believers. But let me give you a little background on the book of Philippians. Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. And so as out of verses that we'll be looking at today, think about that. Remember that he's in that circumstance. Remember that he's in prison and he's writing this with joy and saying, make my joy complete, saying, I've already got joy. And so just consider the circumstance that he's in and consider what it is he's calling us to be, what he's calling us to do as believers, as those a part of the church body. This book, This whole book of Philippians deals with Christian living, the Christian life. What does it look to be a believer? What does that look like? How do we live that out every day? And this book, and this chapter specifically, is going to be dealing with the mind of Christ, But if you're here today and you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, that term means something. It's not something that we're born with. We're not born Christians. We may be born into a Christian family, but we're certainly not born Christians. It's a decision that we make as adults to follow Christ. And so that term implies that, one, we're followers of Christ, but I think it's even better said that we are to be Christ-like. We are to be like Christ in our speech, in our life, and the way we live. So write that down. Christian means like Christ or Christ-like. That's what it means to be a Christian. And so as we look at these verses in Philippians today, we're going to uncover and unpack what it is to be a believer, be reminded of the things that as believers we are to be doing and participating in. Specifically, Paul's going to talk about having the mind of Christ or being like-minded. One of the things that's so important for us as believers is that our mind must be changed from the mind that we're born with, the default setting, the factory setting of selfishness and self-centeredness. Our mind has to change. And as believers, we need to be constantly working at changing our mind, and we must change our mind. We can't continue on the same way that we always have. We can't continue on. It shows not having the mind of Christ. And so Paul's going to remind us to have the mind of Christ. Paul writes this book to the Philippians not to correct their doctrine as he did the Galatians. Paul writes this book, doesn't write this book to correct the behavior of the Philippians like he did the Corinthians, but he sent it to say thank you. He sent it to say, you're doing a good job. Keep it up and let me just hear even more of the good things that you're doing. And so as he writes to them and to the Philippian believers in Philippi, he's ultimately writing to us as well. All the scripture is God-breathed and is useful for reproof and rebuke and correction and training and righteousness. And so God's written this to us specifically here today, 2010, in Jupiter, Florida. And he's going to tell us what it looks like to be a part of the ministry, to be a part of the local church body, what that looks like. And so as I share this today, I don't share this as one who's accomplished this and I've got it down pat. I'm really good. I'm all set to go. I certainly do not. As a matter of fact, I'll steal from Paul in the next chapter of Philippians where he says this, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And so I haven't achieved this. I haven't attained this, as Paul says. I'm just pressing on, and I'm sharing with you today what I've been learning and reading this week. And I think that as I look out over this church, I think this church does an incredible job of doing these things, you as individuals participating in the body of Christ. And so I would say the same thing that Paul says is let's keep up the good work. Let's be reminded of what we need to do, the things that we need to have as part of our life. And so this teaching comes from a heart of learning this morning. And so as I've learned this week and I share with you, I think you're going to learn this morning and be able to make some adjustments, just some tweaks in our lives as believers. Speaking of the Christian life, having the mind of Christ, James on your outline tells us this. So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It is dead and useless. You see, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we earn our salvation or that we can do things to be in right standing with the Lord. We can't. We never can. All of that was accomplished by Jesus Christ on Calvary 2,000 years ago. But as believers, there's some things that are just part of our life. They're just who we are. They're just, when people look on, they just know that that's a believer. There's some good deeds that we live out. And when we find ourselves not living out those good deeds, not having them as part of our Christian walk, then we have a faith that's dead and useless. It's accomplishing nothing. You see, it's easy to have a lot of Bible knowledge and a lot of Bible information. It's real easy in a church like this to just come to soak it in and take in all the Bible study. But that's not what we were saved to do. We weren't saved to just soak it in. We were saved to take it in and then take action with what we've been given, to put into our lives what we've learned. You see, I would say we're not saved to come to church and take in a Bible study. I would say we are saved to serve one another. Ultimately, we're saved from hell and into eternity with Jesus Christ. But in this time period that we live on this earth, we're saved to serve one another, to impact the body of Christ, those around us. And so today we're going to be looking at the one another's and the importance of our part as we minister in the body of Christ. And I think it's crucial for us to remember that we are the body. We are the church. The church is not made up of an organization or a building or structure or pastors and staff. That's not the church. The church is the individual people that are here week in and week out serving and participating and growing. You're the church. And so as Paul writes this to the church in Philippi, he's writing it to the church of Calvary right here today, saying these are the things to have up and running in your life. One of the things you're going to keep hearing me say this morning is I'm going to keep referencing the body, the body, the body, because I think it gives us a good picture of what it looks like to be a part of a local church. Paul in Romans says this on your outline, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And so Paul uses the example of the body, because we understand the body. We understand when everything's working properly, all systems are going the way they should, everything's firing, I'm at peak capacity. I'm able to accomplish great things. I'm able to do what it is that I need to do day in and day out. But the time that something fails to work, some system isn't properly functioning, my capacity is decreased. My ability to be effective is decreased. And it's the same is true of you and I, of those of us that make up the body of Christ. And so I'm going to use that example today. But notice what he says on there. We are individually members one of another. This is a real change, a real different perspective than the perspective that we have, the perspective we're born with, to put one another as more important, to recognize one another as more important. And so remember that today as we go. Remember that one another aspect of what Paul's talking about. And so Paul's in prison. He's got joy, but he says, I want my joy to be complete as I see the gospel working out in your life, church. I want to see the gospel in action. I want to see you effectively ministering and effectively serving. I want to see that happening. And so I think the same could be said to us today, as I want to see us living out the gospel, serving one another, ministering to one another, investing in the lives of those around us. And again, I'm impressed again and again at the capacity of this church to do that, to minister to one another, to serve whenever needed. And so be encouraged that it's just a reminder to continue on doing what it is that God's called us to do. And so as a Christian, my calling is to live like Christ. Write that down. As a Christian, I live like Christ. In verse 2, again, he says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. Now, Paul is not calling us to act the same way, respond the same way, minister in the same way, talk the same way. That's not at all what he's saying. But what he's saying, let's have a unity of mind. Let's have a unity of direction. I mean, my hand doesn't operate as my foot. It operates as my hand. And so it's going to look different. It's going to respond different. But it still has one purpose, and that's to serve my body. And the same is true of you and I. We're members, individual members, one of another. We belong to each other to serve and respond to each other within the body as the needs arise. See, we'll vary in our expressions of worship. We'll vary in our giftedness. We'll even vary in how we serve within the local body. Paul in Corinthians said this, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's a variety of gifts. Everybody's going to look different. But I think the key from that verse and the key today is to remember that each of us has a gift that we are able to employ in serving those in our local church body, in the body that we're attached to. Each of us has been given a giftedness, a special, unique gift to serve the body. 1 Peter, on your outline, Peter says this, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Underline that, one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As each one has a gift, minister it to one another. What did Peter say? Peter didn't say, well, if you have a gift or when you get a gift. He said, you got saved, you got a gift. You were saved, you got a gift. And now you've gotten the gift, get to work. There's something for you to do. There's something for you to be a part of. There's something for you to be accomplishing in the context of the body of Christ. As we, again, look at our body, it works in harmony to best serve us. And when it doesn't, trouble sets into our lives. And so we have to have that one-minded, that single-mindedness, that Christ-like mind. And that's what we're going to find today. We're going to find out what Christ's mind was. In verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, and intent on one purpose. He says, be of one mind by following the example of Christ. Write that down. Be of one mind by following the example of Christ. He says, be like-minded, have the same love. Follow the lead of Christ. But I want to change verse 1 for a second. I want to take the if statement out, and I want to put the word since in, and I've put it on your outline with since replacing if, and there's a reason. And let's read it with that in there. It says, since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is consolation of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, since there is affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. You see, Paul wasn't creating a conditional clause as he wrote that first verse, but he was arguing a point. He's saying, since this exists, since you have this love and this fellowship of the Spirit and this affection and compassion, you have that. And so make my joy complete. So keep that in mind as we go, that we have those things, and so now we've got to live out the life of Christ, making his joy complete. Verse 3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Go back to verse 3 and underline where he said one another. He said, with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And then in verse 4, he says in the last line, but also for the interest of others. Find others there. You see, these two verses are the key to what we're looking at today. These two verses are the key to what it looks like to change our mind, to have that Christ-like mind as we minister to each other. We've got to change what we naturally do. And those two verses are very unnatural to us. It is not natural to regard one another as more important than ourselves. I mean, you've heard it said before, you look at a picture and the picture turns out good based on how you look in that picture, how I look in that picture. Doesn't matter what anybody else looks like. I've heard Pastor Dan say this before, I'm always on my mind. It's true, isn't it? We're always on our own mind. We're always thinking about us. We're seldom thinking of the interest of others. We're seldom putting that as the priority. And in verse 4, we're seldom setting aside our personal interests, the things that we like and the things we want to do, the things we want to accomplish so that we can help someone else accomplish what it is God's called them to do. And so this is a mind change. This is a settings change on the system of our mind. Paul is saying it's not about our recognition, but it's about the recognition of those around me. You see, when it's about my recognition, I'm concerned about the benefits that I'm going to get. What's going to happen for me? What am I going to get out of this? How is this going to impact my life? And Paul's saying it's not about recognizing what's going to impact your life, but it's about recognizing what's going to impact the lives of others. And so as the church, we have to take our mind set off what I'm going to get or how I will be seen or how does this benefit me or my family or whatever. And we've got to take the focus and shift it to the one another's that are around us, the one another's that are sitting next to us, serving alongside of us, that make up the local body. Paul in Galatians, on your outline, tells us this. He says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. You can underline one another there as well. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Our role, our purpose, our function within the body is to look around us, to get to know those that are around us, that are near us, and then serve them by setting aside our own interests and our own desires to serve them. Write this down. In humility, look out for the interest of others. In humility, look out for the interest of others. That's not natural for us. Humility is not natural for us. Pride sets in. Pride is what says, what am I going to get from this? How will I be benefited in this? What blessing am I going to receive? And so I've got to set aside my pride and in humility come and serve the others, the one another's that are the key to this passage. Christianity first made the word others an important word in our vocabulary. Let me ask this question. Why did Christ come and die? For others. Why do we bother? Why should we share the gospel except for others? You see, the others became important as Christ set the standard for us to live to. And so write this down. To think of others first is to have the mind of Christ. To think of others first is to have the mind of Christ. And so this whole study is about having the mind of Christ. As James said, having those good deeds. As Paul says later in Philippians, working out our salvation. Not working for it, but working it out. Living it out in our lives. And so what's the only way that this can happen? I mean, how can we change the autopilot setting of self to focus on setting aside ourselves and serving others. How can we do that? Well, there's one answer. There's one answer. And that answer is Jesus. But you see, first we have to believe him for salvation. I mean, we simply are not going to operate like this apart from believing him for salvation. And then second, it's going to be by following his example in life. Following the example of Christ as he lived out his life, the words that he said and the things that he did. And so we ask the question, well, what was his example? Well, verse 5, Paul begins to tell us. In verse 5, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So what did Jesus do? Jesus came to earth. He set aside his supernatural powers, the supernatural power of his deity. He didn't set aside his deity. He was God in the flesh. But he chose to set aside his supernatural powers of his deity to come and live a life, to set an example of what it is to be like Christ, what it is to have the mind of Christ. Paul tells us this on your outline. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And so Paul expresses in Ephesians the same thing, that it's setting aside ourselves, it's setting aside our own desires, living out the calling to which we've been called, to be humble and gentle and patient with one another, serving one another in the body of Christ. And so I ask the question, I go, well, how can I best serve the body? I mean, Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus served in the most ultimate way, in giving his life on the cross for our sin. And so how can I live out the life of Christ? How can I have the mind of Christ in the context of the local church? It starts by getting to know one another. Those one another's that we've been talking about. That's where it starts. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud. But do you know those around you today? Do you know those in front of you and behind you, next to you and across the room? Do you know those around you today? Do you know their story? Do you know their life circumstance? Well, the question is, why not? Why not? I mean, maybe some of us do. Maybe some of us are great at this, and I think most of us in here are. But sometimes we fall back into that old mindset, that old setting. And so why don't I know the stories of those around me? Well, probably because I'm not living in the mind of Christ. I'm not setting aside my personal interests, my own desires, to know those around me so that I can most effectively minister to those around me. I mean, when I stub my toe, my whole body knows what's happened. And my whole body responds. And sometimes my mouth responds in a way my mouth shouldn't respond, but my whole body does respond to what's happened. Again, I haven't attained this. I'm still learning. But how does my body respond? Why does it respond? Because it knows itself. It's communicating within itself. It's taking care of the needs of the members of my body, whatever they might be. And so sometimes we get so busy in our lives and in our world and all the things that are going on, and we don't get to know those around us. And sometimes we look on at people around us and go, you know, I don't really want to know them. I mean, they're very different. Something's very strange. And it's kind of like the circumstance of pulling out of the driveway and making my way down the street, and some person, some neighbor backs out of their driveway, cuts in front of me, and takes off down the road. I mean, my gut reaction to that person is, jerk, jerk, I can't believe he just did that. But when I stop and I wait a second and I find out what is their circumstance, and I come to find out, oh, that neighbor of mine, well, they just had a fight. They're having marriage trouble. They they need to be loved on and counseled in this area of their life. And so that's just what just, now I know what just happened there. There's a reason that he did that. Or there's an emergency situation in that person's family, and I need to step in and I need to respond to them. Just like it happens there in the context of my neighborhood, on my street, it happens in the context of the church body and the local body of believers. We're so consumed with where we're going, what we're doing, and we see those that are struggling along the way, and we don't stop to find out what is their story? What's going on in their life? And so I think it's important for us to slow down and to set aside the things that keep us distracted so that we can be most effective in ministry. We miss opportunity after opportunity to pour into the lives of somebody else when we allow the things of this world to distract us so much that we aren't available to those around us. You see, we're all called to ministry. The Bible says that you are the ministers. That you are the ministers ministering within the local body. And we're all called to serve. And we're called to serve one another. And so we show the love of Christ, the humility of Christ, when we set aside those things that make our life easier, when we set aside those things that are our interests and our desires, and we humbly step into the lives of the person sitting next to us or down the row from us or across the room from us. When that occurs, we're able to focus on the lives of our fellow believers, and we're able to best serve them, best invest in their lives. Write this down. Jesus became a servant. Jesus became a servant. And so to have the mind of Christ, I must become a servant. If I'm going to have the mind of Christ, I've got to become a servant. One of the verses that I've just been dwelling on lately is the Bible talks about the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. As a pastor, as a shepherd in this flock, I've got to be willing to lay down my life for the sheep. That means sometimes it's going to be inconvenient. It's not always easy to run to the hospital on your day off or in the evening after dinner. I mean, those things aren't always fun and easy, and I'm not here to say, you know, pity party on me, but as an example of sometimes we set aside those things that are so important to us, those things that are the things we want to do and the things we want to accomplish to serve and to have that servant mindset, that servant mind of Christ. And so how do I know if I'm a servant? How do I know if I'm really willing to serve and I have that mind? Well, here's the servant test. Here's the servant test. How do I react when people treat me like a servant? Write that down. How do I react when people treat me like a servant? That's the servant test. I get tested with that all the time. You know, we have core night, and I'll show up here, and, hey, Drew, what can I help with tonight? Hey, can you move those tables around and set them up over here? Like, seriously? You know, are you kidding? You know, and I'm like, I wasn't really asking because I wanted to move tables. I was asking so you felt like I came and asked you if there was something I could do. And that's those servant tests when I realized, man, I am not in the place of a servant right now. And I don't really say that to him. I mean, I'll move the tables for him. But in my mind, that's what comes up. And so it's having that servant's heart when that question is, hey, could you take that garbage out? It's getting full over there. Sure. I don't take it out at home. You know, I do, but it's just, how do I respond? How do I respond when people treat me like a servant? See, here's the thing about a servant. A servant is never noticed. A servant is never thanked. A servant's never invited to dinner. No one compliments them or applauds them. They're simply expected to do their work, expected to do what it is that their task is. The task that they have at hand. And that is completely opposite of the way our minds work. That is completely different than the way that we think and the way that we respond naturally. And so it is a mind change. It is a life change to have that servant mindset, to be available to serve those in the body of Christ. But that's the mind that's to be in me. That's the mind that's to be in you. It's the mind that as believers, that's the mind that we're to have. Serving one another. Ministering to one another. Let me give you a little bit of an example from my life, from our home. See, we have five little kids in our house, 7 to 1. And Thursdays is cleaning day at the Morrell house. And so they get me out the door so that I'm not in the way, because that always creates a problem if I'm around during cleaning time. And so I'm shoot out the door, and Courtney begins to organize everybody to the task that they have to do. And so Leanne, who's our oldest, she's 7. Her job during the week is dishes, but on cleaning day, it's the bathrooms. She's in charge of the bathrooms and the sinks and the toilets and all those things. And then Amy Joy, she's 5, and so her responsibility is to vacuum. Hers is vacuuming. Sometimes she can mop, but she's 5, so we usually have to come behind her. But she's learning, so she vacuums. And then Savannah, she's 4, and so her job is windows and mirrors and those kinds of things. So she gets a bottle of Windex and paper towels, and she's on her way. And then Rebecca, she's almost 3, and so her job is kind of picking up the clutter around the house. She helps pick up things. And then Libby, she's only 1. She can't do a whole lot, but she can walk. And so because she can walk in our house, she gets to take her dirty diaper to the garbage. And just like you know, we saw Maggie a few weeks ago, and that's her task. That's her part in the family. She's up and moving. She can do that part. And so everybody has their part. Everybody has their piece. And on Thursday, they set out to accomplish those things. And here's the thing about that. That's all well and good, but you know, maybe Leanne did not get the toothpaste all over the sink in the bathroom, but she's cleaning it up. And Amy probably didn't spill the macaroni and cheese on the floor last night at dinner, but she's the one vacuuming that crusty mess off the floor. You see, everybody's doing their part in our family. That's part of being a part of our family. I mean, you don't get to live there and do nothing. You live there and you participate in what's happening. You all do your part and you all make it happen, because with 7 people in our house, we are getting nowhere fast if everybody's not participating and everybody's not doing their part in our family. Well, I think that picture of the family carries over to the picture of the church, because see, the church is the family of God, the body of Christ. And so that carries over into this family. Of all of us doing our part, all of us stepping in and ministering where the need is. And it looks different in every situation and every dynamic and everyone's life. It's going to look a little bit different, but we all do our part in the body of Christ. And as I said, you guys do an amazing job of stepping up and doing those things. But just as a reminder, just to remember that that's our part, that we all have a piece to play. And so then the question becomes, okay, I get the one another aspect. I get the mind of Christ. I get all that. What do you want me to do? Where do you need me to serve? What's the question? What is it that you're asking? Well, here's what it is. I don't know where you need to serve. You know where you need to serve. You know where your gifting is and where your calling is. You know what God has done in your life. You know, maybe for you, it's you went through a time in your life, went through a terrible divorce. And now you're walking with the Lord and you're in fellowship with the Lord. And now you can invest in the life of a couple that's hurting and going through a difficult time. You can minister to that need in the life of that person. Or maybe you had an addictive past. Maybe there was an addiction in your life that you've overcome by the grace of God. And so now it's your opportunity to walk alongside that other person who's struggling and to minister to them and counsel them from the Word of God. You see, our place of service is going to look different person to person, situation to situation, but we all have that place of service. Maybe it's in those things you've heard us talk about before. Maybe it's just coming and serving in the children's ministry, speaking into lives of these little ones, telling them that Jesus loves them, telling them what God's word says, telling them they're beautiful and they're cute and they're funny. I mean, we don't know. Maybe that's the only time in the week they hear those things. And so it's ministering into the lives of those little ones. Or maybe it's in as I said, counseling with someone. Or maybe it's being a premarital counselor. Maybe for some of you ladies out here, maybe for you, it's saying, you know what? My kids are all grown up. husband's at work. I've got some free time in the mornings. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come out on Tuesday or Thursday, and I'm going to watch the little ones for the new moms that have a house full of kids while they go to the Bible study that Tammy or Lori is doing, that I can come and I can serve them that way. I can serve them that way. I can watch them. It's just a couple hours. I can let them get out of the hectic chaos of a busy week and be refreshed in a Bible study on a weekday morning. Or maybe it's serving behind the scenes. Maybe it's coming in and painting the hallways that get messed up so easily. Or maybe it's fixing the broken door handle or whatever it might be. Maybe it's in that place, just coming in and just serving during the week or in the evenings, just keeping up the place so that we're ready to minister on Sundays and Wednesdays when we have services and Bible studies and all of these things going on. Maybe you've got the gift of hospitality. It's just coming and serving at a worship night or a core night. Maybe instead of participating, you stay out there and you get the table all ready and the food all out and everything ready to go so that when everybody comes out, they can enjoy the food and the time of fellowship together. And the list goes on and on. I mean, we could go on and on with the list of opportunities. But I think for us, sometimes it's just thinking outside of the things that we normally think about and just thinking, how can I minister? How can I get to know those around me so I can minister to them? Maybe just being here serving, I'll get to know some people. Maybe I need to be in a small group and I'll get to know some people. Or maybe I'll come out on Wednesday night and get to know some people in a more relaxed environment around whatever food's being grilled out there. Well, whatever it is, but it's that mind of Christ, that coming and serving the body. And here's the result of when that happens. The result is this. Jump down to verse 11, Philippians 2. And he says this, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. That last line is the result. Among whom you appear as lights in the world. You see, here's what happened. When we're effectively ministering to one another, when we're investing in those that are sitting around us, the world looks on and says, that is unique. That is something different about that group of people. They see the mind of Christ. They don't quite know what it is, but it certainly connects to them. It certainly piques their interest. And we have the opportunity through that to be lights in the world, Paul says. We have the opportunity to draw people to Christ and direct them to Christ. And so the world looks on and says, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what's going on there. And so that's what happens when we do those things. That's what happens when we're effective in ministry. We get to show people, point people to Jesus Christ. Well, if you're here today because somebody brought you and pointed you to Jesus Christ by bringing you, or you just showed up on your own and you didn't know Jesus until you came in here today, and today you said, you know what, I believe in this Jesus. I believe that he's God. I want him in my life. Well, let me just say congratulations, because by your simple belief, you've become a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a Christian. You're part of the family. So welcome to the family if you've made that decision today. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you made that decision today and you say, today's the first time that I can point to that I really believe in Jesus, I want you to take that connection card that we filled out earlier this morning, and I want you to just check that box. Not for us to show up at your house, but simply so we can be an encouragement to you as you take these next steps in your walk with the Lord. And then what I'm asking you to do is to come down here after the service. Once the service is over, come down front, and there's going to be some prayer partners. I want you to bring them that card and hand it to them, and they're going to give you a Bible and a book to take home this week as you begin this journey of faith with Jesus. And so if that's you, would you do that today? But if you're here today and you're a believer, you're already a believer, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm part of this church, just consider the things that Paul's told us today. Consider, do I have the mind of Christ? Am I living like Christ? Like I said earlier, I think you guys do an incredible job. I think this church is amazing at having the mind of Christ with one another, serving one another, setting aside our own interest. But we can all take that servant test again and again and just be reminded, am I a servant? Am I having the mind of Christ? And so do that this week. Think on those things. Think of where you can be investing in the lives of people if you're not, or how you could invest even more in the lives of those that are around you in this church. And it may mean evaluating some of your life. It may mean evaluating some of the great things, the social activities and all the things that we think, you know, make our children amazingly social. Maybe dropping some of that stuff and saying, you know what, I'm going to invest in the lives of the people that are a part of the body that I'm a part of. And so do that this week. Again, just be encouraged that you guys do an incredible job, but keep that reminder, tuck that away, look over those notes, read those verses again, and consider what it is to have the mind of Christ as you go this week. Well, we're going to have baptism here in just a couple of minutes out in the breezeway, so hang around. Stay here to support those who are taking that step of faith and enjoy the hot dogs and the time of fellowship. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to come together as a body, as a family, to minister to one another, to serve one another. God, I just thank you for a church that does that, a church that is so good at ministering to one another. Lord, may we never lose that. May we always be effective, always be setting aside our interests to serve the interests of the others around us. Lord, thank you for this week and all the blessings that you're going to bring. And we just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, amen. Have a good week. We'll see you on Wednesday.